in the name of Jesus. Let's give this choir another, give God a praise offering for this choir. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. How many of you know that He will? How many of you know He's already done it? He certainly will do again what He's done before. And we bless the Lord today for all that has happened. I just got word that one of our members fainted and is being rushed to the hospital, Sister Carter. And we just want to pray right now for her healing. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I stretch my hands toward heaven, towards Thee. Pray that You would touch Mother Carter and that You would bless Brother Carter, Trustee Carter, and keep them in Your perfect and divine will. Believing, dear Lord, that You who've kept her all these days will do it again and again and again. We know that You will. We know that You can. We know that You will. We know that You can. So, Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Believing, Lord, that it is done and it is so. Claiming victory in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, as we move now into this sermonic presentation, the preaching and teaching of Your holy and divine word, I pray that You will indeed bless Your people. Use me to feed Your sheep. Have Your way. Get the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people say amen and amen. I want everyone standing to their feet together and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Exodus. Genesis. Exodus. Amen. If you have trouble finding Exodus, amen. Don't watch the Super Bowl tonight. Do a little Bible study. Exodus chapter number 17. To God be the glory. Amen. Starting in verse number 8, say amen, we've located the text. Starting in verse number 8, the Bible reads, Now Amalek came, chapter 17, verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Moses defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Go to verse number 16, the Bible, verse number 15, the Bible says, And Moses built an altar and called its name Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of this sermon, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. Amen. Teamwork makes the dream work. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words indeed will not return void. Have your way. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God keep you is our prayer. Today is the Super Bowl. Amen. And I don't know what team you're rooting for, but I'm rooting for Carolina Panthers. Amen. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not sure what team you're rooting for, but I'm rooting for Mr. Cam Newton. I'm rooting for the Carolina Panthers. I'm rooting for a young man that had a troubled, challenging collegiate career, transferred to multiple undergraduate institutions, and many folk doubted him. Said he had the size and the ability to play professional ball, but didn't have the maturity. And yet, whenever I look at underdogs in my life, I'm reminded when people say you can't, come on somebody, God always has a way if you're willing to listen to him and trust him. And so I like Peyton Manning. I like him. He's won a couple Super Bowls already. I like him with the Indianapolis Colts. I like him with the Denver Broncos. I just don't want him to win today. I like Peyton Manning. I liked his dad, Archie Manning. I like his brother, Eli Manning. I like Peyton Manning. Amen. But today is Cam Newton time. And so, listen, y'all may come back and say, Reverend, your prediction did not come true. So I'm going to qualify by saying, Lord, whatever your will is, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But if you would hear this preacher's prayer, I just simply ask that you would let Superman go ahead and let the young man have a good game today. And if he prevails, and if he doesn't prevail, I'm still going to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Amen. That really should be our prayer in any kind of contest, political, athletic, whatever the case may be. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But thinking about the Super Bowl, and I appreciate Dr. Bell's comments, we spend more time at some other things that we, but then we start complaining about church. But the reality is that the Super Bowl galvanizes America probably more than any other athletic event, any other reality TV show. More viewers watch the Super Bowl, and these two teams play football, throwing a piece of pigskin through the air, running it on the ground, trying to defend a goal line and trying to get it across somebody else's goal line. Football is a game that really, at the heart of it, is about team. And I think there's something about America that loves teams, that loves teamwork. When there was a bunch of ragtag rebels that fought in something that came to be known as the American Revolution, and many folk didn't give the little ragtag rebels much success against the British Empire, whose flags flew all over the world. And yet these rebels decided they would go against the empire and dared to declare that man, and although they didn't say it explicitly, woman, and although they didn't say it explicitly, black folk and brown folk and white folk together have inalienable rights, the pursuit of happiness, and all of the other things in our Constitution. Their dreams were noble, but the thing that probably galvanized them and galvanized America is that when teams come together, great things can happen. And so I want to speak today about teamwork, because I believe there's a lesson to be learned on the day of the Super Bowl, but more importantly, out of God's scripture about teamwork. There's a lot of teams in the Bible. I can talk to you about young Jacob and his 12 sons. By Leah and Rachel and Bilhah and Zilpah. But the 12 tribes of Israel constituted was probably the Bible's most preeminent team, because those 12 tribes are mentioned throughout the entirety of the Christian and Jewish text, all the way to the end of the book in the book of Revelation. You hear about this team of 12 brothers and their descendants. You hear about another team in the New Testament, the team of apostles that Jesus called and called them disciples. And really, many of them were fishermen. He said, drop your nets and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. He didn't use the word T-E-A-M, but really in many contexts, Jesus was building a team. And the best kind of team is when the captain of the team or the quarterback of the team may not even have to be in the huddle, but the play can be executed as if he or she was in the huddle. Teams are built not around individuals, but they are built around people. Teams. There is no I in team. Amen, somebody. And so I believe that today's text gives us a glimpse of a great team. The team in the Bible is Moses and his brother Aaron and Hur, and there's another member of the team that's not mentioned here, but equally important to the team was Aunt Moses' and Aaron's sister, whose name was what? Miriam. The team. And so I want to talk today about three simple words around this concept of teamwork. And one is the team. And two is the notion of trust that must be endemic to the team. And three is the triumph that the team can encounter once they work together as a unit. A well-oiled, synchronized, coordinated, orchestrated unit of people with one common vision, trying to get to one common place, operating in unison and unanimity. Teams can work. And when you have dreams, big, magnanimous dreams, it takes a team to make the dream come to fruition. I believe that God will support and undergird in his Bible that no man does it by himself and no woman does it by herself. When you see a great man of God and a great woman of God in the Bible, I would submit to you and suggest that somewhere around them is a team that got God's job done. And so I want to challenge you at the outset, as I would challenge you at the end, to ask yourself the question, how am I working as a member of my team? Whatever your team is, it might be in ministry, in the church. How am I working as a member of the choir? A team member, not the soloist. How am I working as a member of the ushers? A team member, not the lead. How am I working as a member of the deaconess and the deacons and the trustees and the trustee aides and the hospitality committee? How am I working together as a team member? Am I a good team member? Ask yourself the question on your job. Are you a good team member? Do you have what it takes to make the team happen? You may have individual gifts. You may have individual talents. But your individuality has to be submitted to the corporate reality of what the team is trying to do. Teamwork on your job. Teamwork in your fraternity, your sorority. Teamwork in your church. Teamwork. How are you working together as a team? And let the Super Bowl be a reminder to you that God is looking for a team of people to make the dream come to reality. And so when I look in these first couple of verses in the text, the scripture tells me in Exodus chapter 17 that Moses, fresh off a victory by giving water to the people of God, is now still dealing with trying to galvanize the people into a unit, a team. And the Bible says in verse number eight and nine that Amalek came up against the people of God and fought against them. And Moses says to them, Joshua, he says to the young protege, Joshua, choose us some people. I like Moses' use of pronouns. He didn't say, choose me some people. He said, choose us some people. Because Moses realized that this is bigger than him. I'm about to go into battle against an enemy called the Amalekites. And I need some people who can fight with me. I need some people who don't mind standing with us. It's not just for me, Joshua, but this is the will of God, that some people would come together to advance the kingdom the way God is orchestrating it to happen. I need you to be on your assignment and go down and get us some fighters who are ready to do battle, to do what God has called us to do. And the Bible says in verse number 10, Joshua did as Moses said and fought with Amalek. Moses says, you go down, get us some people, and I'm going to go up to the top of the hill, and I want you to put the team together. I'm trusting you, Joshua, to put the team together. God may be calling some of you to be trustworthy Joshuas, to learn how to put the team together and to make it stronger. Choose us some good men and some good women who are able to fight in the battle, to do the work of the Lord. Build us a team. Second T is that teams have a lot of traits, but the most important trait in a team is trustworthiness. You've got to be able to trust the people on the team. Come on up here, Deacon Smith. Now, when we were kids, I don't know if you were like me, but I played this trust game. I don't know. I was a little silly when I was a kid, and I probably trusted some folk I probably shouldn't have trusted. But I did. And I, you know how I used to play. You're not going to look back. You're just going to trust that if I fall backwards, my team member's going to be there to catch me. How many of y'all did that? A few of y'all were probably wise enough not to do it. And a few of y'all probably did it one time, and all it took was you to fall on your backside and say, I'm not going to trust them anymore. But I'm going to trust that Deacon Kelvin Smith, amen somebody, when I fall backwards, is not going to let me hit the ground. You got your muscles ready, Kelvin? I don't weigh a lot. Well, let me flip that around. I probably weigh more than y'all think I weigh. Amen, amen. I'm going to trust you now. Thank you, sir. Now, the object of that game is see how far you can go back and let them fall as low as they can without hitting the ground. But I'm not going to do that again, Kelvin. You did just a good job right there. Teams take trust. Look what Moses said to him. Moses, as he goes to the top of the mountain, Joshua's down there in the valley now. Moses is now on the top. Aaron on one side, her on the other side. And the Bible says whenever Moses' hands were lifted up, that there was victory down in the valley. But when Moses' hands started to go down because of weariness, come on, the victory, the tide of the war turned. And Joshua didn't matter what was going on the top of the mountain, because if Joshua was busy looking up at the top, he would have been slaughtered. Joshua had to fight the good fight down in the valley. And I need some folk. God is looking for people who are not concerned about what's going on to the left and what's concerned about what's going on to the right. You just put your nose to the grindstone and fight the battle. If your battle is to sing, sing to the glory of God. If your battle is to stand on the door, stand on the door to the glory of God. If your assignment is to be a deacon to the glory of God. If your assignment is to be a trustee A to the glory of God. Stop worrying about what's going on around you and just follow the assignment that God has given unto you. Joshua's assignment was to fight in the valley. Moses' assignment was to keep his hands lifted up as long as he could. But his arms grew weary. And the Bible says that Aaron and Hur put a stone under Moses, and he sat on the stone. Now, I don't know if Moses did what I just did. He didn't look behind him. He just trusted that there was a stone there, and he just sat down. But there's another game that we played when we were kids. You sit, go ahead and sit down, brother, and pull the chair out from underneath that person. See, it takes trust of your team members that when you are weary, that they're there to catch you. And that when you're ready to sit down, they're going to put something under you so that you don't fall and injure yourself. Because Joshua and Aaron and Hur understood this is bigger than Moses. Come on, somebody. This is bigger than Joshua. If Moses don't keep his hands up, we're going to lose the victory. We're going to lose the battle. And so they did what was necessary for the sake of the team, knowing that whatever it was necessary to keep Moses' hands lifted up, they were going to do that. And so they put a stone under Moses so that standing, he wouldn't get more weary than he was sitting. And that they not only gave him a stone to sit on, but they took one hand and they held it up. And they took the other hand and they held it up. Because they understood it's bigger than the person. It's about the office. It's about the assignment. It's about God getting the victory. And God is looking for some folk who don't mind holding folks' hands up. It's not about you. It's about the assignment. It's not about your individual gift. It's about the collective. It's not about your talent. It's about what God is trying to do. And I don't know about you, but I serve a big God. And the God I serve is about to move mountains out of our way. The God I serve is about to build bridges over troubled water. The God I serve is about to open doors that no man can shut. Do I have a witness here that God is allowed to do a miracle? But when God gets ready to do a miracle, he needs some people. He needs some people who don't mind being members of the team and do what is necessary to get the job done for the glory of God. Not individual people, but for the glory of God. The last part of the story is clear. Teams take trust. Trust teams lead to triumph. When teams, godly teams, work together the way God has ordained them to work, ordained them to operate, ordained them to be, triumph always comes at the end. Somebody should have got a shout on right there. Because some part of the battle is that the team may not be operating the way God wants it to operate. And I've come to the conclusion that one person does not a team make. Come on, somebody. It takes people who are willing to submit and do the will that God has called them to do. It takes togetherness and unanimity and support to go the direction that God has orchestrated us to go. The Bible says that as Joshua was fighting out in the valley, Moses had his hands up on the mountain, that the tide of the war changed and the battle became victorious for Joshua. But it wasn't just for Joshua. The battle was victorious for Moses, but it wasn't just for Moses. The battle was victorious for Aaron and Hur, but it wasn't just for Aaron and Hur. The battle was victorious for the whole collective, the nation of Israel. The nation won that day, not Moses. The nation won that day. Because at the end of the day, there are only two choices: win together or lose together. And if they did not operate together, Amalek and the Amalekites would have overrun Moses and the Israelites. This is no game now. See, the football game is a game. There's no salvific reality to whether Cam Newton wins or Peyton Manning wins. Peyton didn't go to a cross for me. Cam Newton didn't have a crown of thorns put on his head for me. But there was a man by the name of Jesus. They hung him high on Calvary's cross. They pierced him in the side. Blood and water came streaming down. They nailed him in his hands, nailed him in his feet. But he stayed there on the cross just for me, because he understood thousands of years. He was going to have a church by the name of Shiloh Baptist Church in the city of Trenton. And they needed to know that if you just get on the right team, if you just put God in the front of the pack, if you just let God have God's way, that there's no devil, there's no demon, there's no mountain, there's no bridge, there's no obstacle
that God cannot work out. I need somebody here to tell somebody that God is a way maker, that God is a battle axe in the time of storm.
Listen, 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 that name that we use so often, Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi, N-I-S-S-I, is a compound Jewish phrase that means God is my banner. And in many respects, what they were saying is that God will fight my battle. And there's a lot of names that we use for God. Jehovah Rapha, God is my healer. Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God is my righteousness. But this one I really like, Jehovah Nisi, because I'm 47, I'm about to be 48. But all of my years I've had some battles. Life hasn't been easy for me, but I've come this far by faith to tell somebody, no matter what the battle looks like, I've got a battle axe in the time of storm. He's fought my battles. He's opened doors I couldn't open for myself. Do I have a witness here today? Has God ever fought your battle? Has God ever moved a mountain? Has God ever built a bridge? Has God ever opened a door? He will. He will. I said he will. I know he will. He'll fight my battle if I can't steal. I know that he will. I've seen it for myself. He'll fight your battles. Jehovah Nisi, say it with me. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Nisi. My battle axe in the time of battle. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Standing to your feet. Deacons and deaconesses, help me extend the invitation. Is anybody here under the sound of my voice who don't have a church home? I want to extend this invitation to you to prayerfully consider joining with us here at the Shiloh Church. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what your circumstances are, but I can say this, that God is looking, if you already believe in him, God is looking for you to be a part of a body of believers where you can fulfill the call that God has upon your life. And if you are looking for that church home today, I want to offer Shiloh as a place for you to come. More important than a membership is your relationship with God. And if you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus, then I want to offer that to you today. Because I'm here to tell you, you won't win any more battles. You may get a few victories, but you won't win the battle and you won't win the war if you don't have a relationship with someone greater than yourself. And we believe that's God through Jesus. So if you are in a place where you are searching, I want to invite you to come today. Trust God. Trust God. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Choir's going to sing one more time. And as they sing, these two invitations are extended. Anyone here?
In the name of Jesus.
Anyone here?
We have a victory. Oh, and in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory.
Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. You may be seated. You may be seated. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer. Before the deacons and deaconess and clergy move, I want to extend this invitation again to say to you, you may not want to come publicly, but you don't have to do it publicly. You just have to do it. You may want to do it privately. And so these men and women are standing as resources to you, spiritual resources. Sisters, if you need a sister to pray with, grab one of these ladies. Brothers, if you need a brother to pray with, grab one of these brothers. Families, if you need a family to talk about something that's going on, grab one of these folk, because they're ordained and trained and consecrated to do this very thing, to help the people of God become stronger in their walk and in their faith. So I want to invite you to look at where they go back to their seat, and then feel free to pull one of them aside in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. All right. God bless you and God keep you. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, you may take your seat.